Okay, today's daf at Daf Yud Gimel. We are on Yud Beis and Mabez. Yud Beis and Mabez about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Ashi. So we have just been discussing the past blot. Remember the Mishnah that we had yesterday that discusses the Drabanan hours that were added on to the Isser Achila, to the Isser Hana. So we got into the discussion of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which discusses Edim, talking about something that they saw. How much, this Machlokas Tanoim, how much leeway do we give them, how much flexibility do we give them in terms of their Eidos to be able to still be Mitzarif them, even though one of them says this hour, third hour, fifth hour, third hour, second hour, third hour, how much flexibility did we give them? So we had a whole discussion of that from the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So following that up on that discussion, says the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, fifth wide line on the bottom of Yud Beis Maveis, Amar Rav Ashi, Kemachlokas Be'edus, Kach Machlokas Bechameitz. Says Rav Ashi, the same machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, which we have by Eidus, which is what we just quoted from the Mishnah Sanhedrin, where Rabbi Meir says, if one Eid says second hour, one Eid says third hour, you can accept them. Third and fifth, you can't accept them. And Rabbi Yehuda says third and fifth, you can accept them. Just fifth and seventh, you can't accept them. So the same machlokas is by Chametz as well. That's the machlokas in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir says that you have an extra hour midrabanan of Isra Achila of Chametz, and Rabbi Yehuda says you have an extra 2 hours. So the Gemara says Pshita. Okay, it's obvious. That's what we've been discussing the past blot. That we're paralleling the Machlokas. So Hainuhach, the Amrinan. This is exactly what we've been talking about. Says the Gemara, Hakamashlan, what's the Chiddush of Rav Ashi? Shinuye Dishaninan Shinuyehu, Velotema Tanahi. No, the Rav Ashi is emphasizing that the parallels that we have been making are true parallels. Don't say that the answers that we gave to try to explain, because there are some differences between. Like here, a mayor says you only go back an hour, and there he says an hour people make mistakes, so maybe it's not exactly parallel. Rabbi Yehuda here says you have to go back 2 hours. So the Gemara said, asked some kashas, it gave some terutzim. Rav Ashi is emphasizing that keep the terutzim. The terutzim are MS, and it is a parallel machlokas. Don't think it is not parallel. Rashi explains that we accept the answer of chametz is masul lakol and edus is masul is reason. So there are chilukim between them, but the machlokas itself is a parallel machlokas. Amar Rav Sivin Barashi lo shanu ela b'shos. This is relating to the Mishnah Sanhedrin. When do you say that we will accept, even though they have different hours? That's only if they make a mistake in hours, where one says second hour, one says third hour, or third and fifth. Aval echad omer kodem haneitzachama, but echad omer acher haneitzachama idusa betela. But if one says before sunrise and one says after sunrise, that might only be a difference of a half an hour. But if once those are the two adios, it's just a betela. Then we're going to throw it out because that's for sure they're not telling the truth. One, they're for sure telling different times because they're talking about pre and post Netzachama. Pshita, that's obvious. Obviously, it's like night and day. We said yesterday people don't make a mistake in night and day. Ella, this is what Rav Sivin Barashi meant to say. Ella, Achad Omer Kodem HaNetzachama, Ve'achad Omer Besocha Netzachama, Edus HaBetela. It's not before and after, but if one says before sunrise, and one says during sunrise, that also Edus HaBetela. We're going to throw out the Edus even in there, not just before and after, but even before and during. So Gemara again says, Hanami Pshita, that's also Pshita. If one person says sunrise hasn't happened yet, then one person says it's during sunrise, so obviously aren't they saying two different times? So Gemara says, no, Ma'u Detema, you might have said in this case, Shravayu Chada Milsa Kamre, you might say that in this case, really, they're saying the exact same time, by saying one before Nates and one during Nates. V'hadza Kamar B'socha Nates Achama, and the one that says during, he doesn't really mean during, but really he means B'giluye Hu Bahave Ka'i. It's Gilui, it's starting to be revealed. Viziyahure Ba'amahu Dechazi. He sees the shining. He sees the glow of the Nates. Meaning, you look out onto the horizon, even before Netzachama, the light of the sun is visible. That's where, how do you get dawn? Where does dawn come from? Obviously, the light of the sun. But even before the sun comes up on the horizon, you might see shining of the sun. So we'll say maybe that's what the person is referring to. By saying during Netzachama, he really also means before Netzachama, but he's just describing it as during because he already sees the light. And therefore, you might say that you are Mitzarif the Eidus. Even though one says before and one says during, really they're saying the exact same time. And the Eidios should be Mitzarif, should combine. Kamash Malan, no, the Chiddush is no. We're not going to accept that Eidus because we don't assume that's what's happening. And if somebody says during, it must be the Nates already has happened. And it's two different time periods that the Eidim are talking about, and we will not accept their Eidus. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, back to Pesachim. Halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which is what we paskin, that you're allowed to eat chametz through the fourth hour, then you have to stop eating, but you still have a tolin hour, you have a limbo hour, where you're not allowed to eat, but you're allowed to have hana'ah, you're allowed to give it to your animals, etc. And then the sixth hour already is aser bahana'ah, even midrabanan. So halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, v'neim amar halacha k'Rabbi Meir, why is halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe you should say, right, this is talking to Rav Nachman, Rav says, maybe you should say halacha like Rabbi Meir. Why? The Stam Lantana Kavase, because we have a Stam Mishnah, we have an anonymous Mishnah that follows the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Remember what Shita of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says, through the fifth hour, you're allowed to eat and you're allowed to give to your animals, and the sixth, everything goes, is what, through the fifth hour? Everything stops by the sixth hour. There's no middle time period. So you should say that halacha like Rabbi Meir. Why? It's not because the Mishnah says at the end of the beginning of the next parak, the beginning of the second parak of Pesachim is called Kol Shah. So the first Mishnah in Kol Shah, Ditzran, Kol Shah Shemutter Lechol Machil. Right, the beginning of that Mishnah says, as long as you are mutter to eat your chametz, you are mutter to be ma'achil your chametz to your animals. That's the Mishnah Dafchav Aleph. So that's what the Mishnah says. So meaning that you're eating and you're giving it to your animals go together. That's Shita Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, through the fifth hour everything's mutter, the sixth hour everything's aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in the fourth hour you can eat. In the fifth hour you can't eat anymore, but you can still give it to your animals. So therefore that Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So asks Rava to Rav Nachman, why don't you pass it like Rabbi Meir? Don't we have a rule that if there's a Stam Mishnah, if Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote a Mishnah anonymously, it must be, and he's holding like one of the Shitos, it must be that that's who he's saying to Paskin like. So Gemara says, no, Hahi Lav Stamahu. That Mishnah is not really a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. Why? Mishum Dekashya Mutter. Because if you look at that Gemara later on, the Gemara is bothered. The Gemara suggests that Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. But then the Gemara says, why does the Mishnah say, Kol Shashem Mutter Lechol Mutter Lahachel Behemto? Why doesn't the Gemara just say, Kol Shashem Ochel Machil? What is that those extra words of Kol Shashem Mutter Lechol Machil? From the words Mutter and Mutter, so the Gemara says, it sounds like not like your mayor. It sounds like the Gemara means to say something as follows. If it's mutter for somebody to do something, it's mutter for somebody else to do something. But the fact you have those extra words mutter, if it just meant like Rabbi Meir, just say, kol shah she'ochel machil. The fact that it says mutter, it sounds like it's referring to something else, and therefore the Gemara there says, the halacha, the stomach is really like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel is the third shita in our Mishnah that we had yesterday. Rabbi Gamliel is the one that says, in the fourth hour, you're allowed to eat. In the fifth hour, like Rabbi Yehuda, in the fifth hour, you're allowed to eat shruma. You're not allowed to eat chulin anymore, and you're still allowed to give it to your animals, chulin. And the sixth hour, you're not allowed to do anything. So says the Gemara there on Daf Chaf Aleph, that Mishnah is really following Rabbi Gamliel. And it means as follows, and Rashi here explains it also. What does it mean, kol shah she mutter lechol, mutter lahachil? Kol shah, that mutter lechol, that you're allowed to eat, your kohen is allowed to eat shruma, mutter lahachil is mutter for Yisrael to give chulin to his animals. That's what the extra words mutter in that Mishnah are coming to teach me. If it was a stama like Rabbi Yehuda, it would just mean kol shah she ochel machil. Those extra words, the Gemara says, tell me that the stama is like Rabbi Gamliel, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why, says the Gemara, we're not going to pass from like Rabbi Yehuda, because, like Rabbi Meir, because it's not a stama Mishnah like Rabbi Meir. So that's what the Gemara means. Hahi lav stamahu, that's not a stama Mishnah, the kashi mutter. Because the word mutter is a problem which led the Gemara to say that really the stama is like Rabbi Gamliel. Tosas asks, we're about to say, ask a different question, but Tosas says, so then why isn't the Gemara's next question, hey, if the Stam is like Rabbi Gamliel, so we should pass it like Rabbi Gamliel. Just like the question just was, hey, if the Stam is like Rabbi Meir, we should pass it like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara doesn't ask that though. The Gemara asks a different reason why we should pass it like Rabbi Gamliel. But the top Tosas says, but why don't we say, if that Gemara says that the Stam is like Rabbi Gamliel, so why don't we say that Allah is like Rabbi Gamliel? Tosas gives one answer. The Chiddushi Haran here says a different answer. He says it's an important yesod for Pesach. The only time when you will say Stam Mishnah ki a certain shita, and we'd paskin that way, is when it's obvious that the only reason that anonymous Mishnah exists is to tell you that the halacha follows this individual. But if the Mishnah is there, if the Mishnah could be there for a different reason, the Mishnah could be there to tell me something unique about a certain Shita, but not dafka that you know, we dafka paska like the shita. But it's coming to explain the shita in a certain way. That's not called a stam mishnah. And as we'll see in a minute, even though that stam mishnah is like Rabbi Gamliel, that the Rabbi Yehuda Nasi could have been coming to teach me something specific and something unique about shita Rabbi Gamliel, not just to say shita Rabbi Gamliel, to call it a stam mishnah. So that's why you can look at the Chiddush Yaron. That's why the Gemara doesn't ask that question. But what does the Gemara ask? Continues the Gemara. The name Amar Halacha Kareb Gamliel. Why don't you, Rav Nachman, say the Halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, not like Rabbi Yehuda? Why? To Havile Machria. Because Rabbi Gamliel is the Machria opinion. What does the Machria opinion mean here? So the Havamina, explained by Rashi a little bit and by other Mefarshim. The Havamina is that let's say you have three opinions in a Machlokas. One person says yes, one person says no, and the third opinion partially holds like the first opinion, and partially holds like the second opinion. Let's say you have that type of case. You have one opinion says one way, one opinion says the other way, and the third opinion says half like this shita and half like that shita. So the concept of machria means we should paskin like the middle opinion, like the machria opinion. Why? Because if you split his shita in half, he always has the majority on his side. Because in half his shita, he holds like the first opinion. So regarding that side of that halacha, it's two against one. And regarding the other half of his opinion, he's holding like the other shita, so it's two against one. So that's the Gemara. What's the Gemara asking here? Because the Gemara is assuming. Remember, what's Rabbi Gamliel shita? Rabbi Gamliel holds that in the fourth hour, you're allowed to eat everything. And in the fifth hour, you're allowed to eat truma, and you're not allowed to eat chulin. And chulin, you're still allowed to give to your animals. So the havamina here isn't Rabbi Gamliel the machria? Because on the one hand, he says you're allowed to eat through the fourth hour, which is like shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And number two, he says you're allowed to eat truma even in the fifth hour. Isn't that like Rabbi Meir? Even though we have no evidence what Rabbi Meir says about truma, but the havamina is that isn't that like Rabbi Meir? And therefore, Gamliel is the machria. Both sides of his shita is like somebody else also, and therefore he's in the majority regarding both sides of his shita. So that's why we should pass like Gamliel, because he's the machria. So the Gemara says, "Aber Gamliel la machria hu." What are you talking about? Gamliel's not a machriya shita. Time of the nafshei kamar. He's saying his own opinion. Rashi here explains, we have no evidence what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold about truma. So how can you say that Rabbi Gamliel shita, that you can eat truma in the fifth hour, that's like Rabbi Meir shita? We have no evidence what Rabbi Meir holds about truma. Or Rabbi Yehuda holds about truma. So Gamliel's saying his own shita. That's saying the machriya. We have no proof that he's like the majority in what he says. So that's why that principle is thrown out, and therefore we don't have a stam mishnah like anybody, we don't have a machriya concept like anybody, so therefore, that's why Rabbi Nachman quotes Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And that is what we paskin, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, we have a zman achila, sof zman achila, and sof zman bir chametz, we have all those zmanim on Erev Pesach because of shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'iba yisema, the Rav, the Amar Ki Aitana, or the Gemara suggests now, Rav has a different Mishnah which seems to go like Rabbi Yehuda. A different Braisa. Titanya, our boss, our Shecholios B'Shabbos. Let's say you have Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, like last year, but Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. The first Seder is Mosi Shabbos, where we had 2 weeks of Shiurim on that. So we're going to talk a little bit about it now. You have Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So the question is, what do you do with your Chametz? Right, because it's going to be Shabbos on Erev Pesach. Mevaren es hakol milifnei haShabbos. This opinion says you have to destroy, you have to get rid of all your chametz before Shabbos. By the way, the Mordechai here quotes the minhag of Rashi. We don't have it anywhere in our Rashi, but the Mordechai here quotes the minhag of Rashi that yes, you destroy your chametz on Friday morning, which is really the 13th day of Nisan, but you do it in the morning. Even though you could do it in the afternoon, it's not Erev Pesach yet. The Mordechai quotes v'hinhig Rashi k'shachol yudalios b'Shabbos l'sorov chametz b'yurgimol b'yom shishi b'erev Shabbos kolim chazos gezeira shemiyisha l'shana haba lachak chazos. You don't want to get mixed up in other years, and that's what we quote in Shulchan Aruch, that even though you could burn your chametz all day on Friday, you're eating chametz all day, the minhag is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to burn your chametz in the same time in the early morning, just like in other years, so you don't get mixed up in the following year. Oh, last year, remember, we burnt it in the afternoon after I came home from work, so that's why we do it in the morning. That's Mordechai in this Gemara, on this Braisa. So says the Braisa, Rashi, he burned the chametz that he had. He left over extra chametz to eat on Shabbos. But the mice of beer, the burning, meaning the act that we do to make sure that we get rid of the chametz that he did in the morning. But as we can see, he left over to eat on Shabbos. So says the Braisa, the 14th day of Shabbos. Levar nezakom b'lefei Shabbos, you destroy everything before Shabbos. V'sarfin, shrumos, tomeos, tluyos, vitaros, and you even burn on Erev Shabbos, your truma tomeya, Tluyos means you're literally you're hanging truma. That means your truma that's suffic, whether it's tameh or tahar. Vitahoros, and you even burn your tar truma. Again, why? This is all chametz. Or if it's going to become usur anyway, so you got to get rid of it anyway. So you get rid of it now. Even the tar truma. Umishayrin minat tahoros mazon shtei sudos, and you leave over from your tahar food enough food for two meals. Kedei lechol adalachos. Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bartuta. Right, you leave over food enough to eat until the fourth hour on Shabbos morning. Who is that like? Until the fourth hour Shabbos morning, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. That's the stomach. That's why this is the proof that this brisa holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why Rabbi Nachman passed like Rabbi Yehuda and Rav passed like Rabbi Yehuda. Until you have to lead over the food until the fourth hour, as Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbartuta says. Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, who quoted Rabbi Yeshua. Omrulo, they said to Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda, Tahoros lo yisarfu. What, you're burning the Tahar Truma on Erev Shabbos in the morning? What are you burning? It's an Avera to burn Truma, Tahora. What are you burning it for? Save it. Ah, you're saying it's going to become Aser. Shemi Yimasul Anochlin. Maybe you'll find some people to eat it. Maybe some Kohanim will come to your, you know, you'll meet the Kohen family in Shul. They won't have anything to eat. They'll come home Shabbos morning to you, and they'll eat you the rest of your Truma. So I'm going to Kfar Bikshu V'Lamasu. We already put up announcements in Shul. We already checked who's having guests for Shabbos. There are no more Kohanim families coming. You know, that's it. We checked. So Amru Lo Sheva Chutz Lachom Alanu. Maybe they're sleeping right outside the wall. Maybe they didn't make it here for Shabbos. They're sleeping right outside the wall. They're within the Tchum. If they're going to come here, then, you know, maybe you just don't know about it. Amar Lahem. So now Rabbi says to them, you want to take so many precautions. Don't eat it because they might come. L'divrechem, according to your view, af tluyos l'yisarfu. Rabbi Elazar says, even the Suffolk Truma you shouldn't burn, not just the real Tahar Truma. Even the Suffolk Tami Suffolk Tahar Truma. Why? Well, what's the Suffolk? Shemi Yavo Eliyavi Tarum. Maybe Elio Novi's going to come. You're so worried about the Cohen family who's sleeping outside the wall. Look, I checked. There's nobody there. You're saying, oh, you have to be worried about every scenario. Maybe Elio Novi's going to come tomorrow morning, and he's going to tell what's with Elio Novi. What difference does it make? No, because Elio Novi's going to tell me whether this truma is Tahor Tameh. Right? Elio Novi Teku. He's going to be Yitaritz Kushius Vabayos. He's going to be Matir Sveikos. Therefore, he's going to come. He's going to tell me if it's Tahor. And if it's Tahor, I should save it for somebody to eat. So Amru Lo, no, they said, come on, we already have the Gemara in Erevin. We know the Gemara Daf Mem Gimel. Loba Elio Far Muftach Len Yisrael Shein Elio Ba Loba Arvi Shabbosos VaLoba Arvi Yavim Tovim Bipnei HaTorah. Elio Anavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif because Bnei Yisrael are being Osek and preparing for Shabbos and Yontif. He doesn't want to disturb them. He doesn't want to mess them up. They're not going to have food for Shabbos. So therefore, he's not going to come on those days. There's a lot to say on this, but let's just finish up the Brisa first. So Amru. That's the brisa. And Amru, the brisa ends off. Lo zasa mishama shakabo halacha kravaza ben Yehuda ish partuta shomer b'shem Rabbi Yeshua. We say the halacha follows this brisa. So what did it say in this brisa? That you save the food Shabbos morning until to eat till the end of the fourth hour. So my lot of hilachol isn't when the Gemara says at the end here that the halacha is like the shita. Doesn't that mean regarding everything this shita says, not just what you have to burn on erev Shabbos, but also when you have to eat it? Until on Shabbos itself, isn't that what it means? So, Amar Rabbi Mishra the Rav Lo Levayer. There's no raya from this brisa that like Rabbi Yehuda, because it could be when we say the halacha follows the shita, it's only regarding the first aspect of a shita that you have to burn even the truma tahora on erev Shabbos. But how long you can eat until the fourth hour, the fifth hour? Maybe that's we don't pass. It's not for sure that the Gemara is saying the halacha follows him regarding that issue, and therefore it's no raya from this stump. Period. Interesting, the Gemara here says you have to leave over tahoros mazon shtei seudos. You have to leave over two meals worth to eat. What do you mean two meals worth to eat? We know there's something called shal shudis. We know there's something called shal shudis on Shabbos. When do you have to leave over two meals to eat for Shabbos? So Rashi says, mazon shtei seudos, look at Rashi, important Rashi. Velo shalosh, not three meals, why? De kol shalosh seudos to Shabbos, arvis shachris umincha. Says Rashi, the three meals have to be in the three time slots of Shabbos. Nighttime, morning, afternoon. The Erev Pesach, Vasar Lechem, and Mincha L'mala. And you can't eat Mincha L'mala on Shabbos. So therefore, only two meals. So the Rashi doesn't say you can't eat what? Right. So what's Rashi talking about here? The Pashtus of Rashi. What's the Pashtus of Rashi? What happens to Shal Shudis? Read the Rashi. What happened to Shal Shudis? It's not there. It disappeared. That's the pashas of Rashi. I never saw a marker for this, but this is a smach, I think, to the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan has an unbelievable chiddush when it comes to Erev Pesach Cholias B'Shabbos, which we discussed last year before Pesach. We spoke about, there are so many different shitas, what to do about Shalosh Shudas. But Erev Pesach Cholias B'Shabbos. So one idea is, Tosfos in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Ches, says that what do? You split the morning meal. You split the morning meal. You eat early in the morning. You wash, you have fish, whatever it is. You bench, you take a walk, you come back. You have to split the morning meal. That's what Tosfos suggests in Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah in Taf Mem Daled quotes from many Achronim. That's what you should do. Rav Sternbach also says that we learned. But that's what Tosfos says in Shabbos. If you look at the Pnei Yeshua, he understands this Rashi as being la'afuke, that idea. Because he says, why didn't Rashi suggest that? What do you mean there's no Shalosh Shudas? Why don't you have two meals in the morning? So in Masi, Rashi is saying that splitting the meal in the morning is meaningless. Right? It's a bracha shein etzricha, and it's what are you doing in the morning? You can't have Shalosh Shudas in the morning. You have to have Shalosh Shudas in the afternoon. You can't. Okay, tough luck. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan, the Pnei Yeshua here says, that what you know what Rashi's, the Chiddush of Rashi is? The Salka Daitach Nehiti Ikers Man Sudash Lishas B'mincha Hainu B'chol Shavsos HaShana D'Orcha D'Mil Sahachihu Masha Enkin Be'er Pesach Shcholi B'Shabbos Hava Mina D'Sorach Lechol Sudash Lishas Kodem Shoach HaMishis Kivin D'Chsib T'chos HaZivni Hayom. You should have it in the morning. Kamash V'lan Afilo Hachi. No, you don't split the morning meal. But Ela Yikaimena B'mina Targima. Half snacks, half fruit. So that's what they say. He Pnei Yeshua understands this Rashi as being lafuke, splitting the morning meal, and therefore just have fruit. Rashi doesn't even say that. Rashi doesn't say have fruit in the afternoon. It makes sense to say that you have fruit in the afternoon, but Rashi doesn't say that. But that's how the Pnei Yeshua understands it. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, remember the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Mem Dalid had all the different shitas. Matzah Ashira, if you're a Sephardi, or split the meal, or could you have all the different opinions, what you should do. But we had... And this, and before we get to the Aruch HaShulchan, which is the punchline, this is where, by the way, this concept that some have of learning instead of Shalosh Shudas. Sometimes you go to a certain shul and they'll say, oh, we have a shiur during Shalosh Shudas. What about Shalosh Shudas? So the best thing to do is fine. You want to have the shiur? Fine. See Shalosh Shudas before you come. But sometimes you'll hear, no, we learn instead of Shalosh Shudas. Rav Shimon bar Yochai used to learn. So you can look throughout Hilchos Shabbos. In Chelek Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah, you will not find that opinion. It's not quoted in Hilchos Shabbos. It's quoted in the Magen Avram, in Hilchos Erev Pesach, Shacholias B'Shabbos, in Hilchos Pesach, where it's so difficult to figure out what to do, Dafka there, the post can quote this idea, that Rav Shimon bar Yochai used to learn instead of Shalosh Shudas. So the post can point out, number one, even if you want to rely on this, only this Shabbos, once every 6 years, you're allowed to do it. Number two, Rav Shimon bar Yochai used to do this. So many say, Tarasu Umnaso. He didn't daven either. He was busy learning. So he doesn't want to eat Shalosh Shudas on Erev Pesach. So again, you have to as we say, you take Rav Shimon bar Yochai, it's coolest, you got to take a schumers too. But the Aruch HaShulchan's interpretation of this Rav Shimon bar Yochai is as follows: the Aruch HaShulchan in Taf Mem Daled says, "Linear daiti barer chari b'shabes zubal karchach lodens tavinu klal shalosh shudas." It must be that in this Shabbos there's no shalosh shudas. Kivan di'ef sharmidi. He says, just like this is an amazing comparison. Yom Kippur. Let's say Shabbos falls out in Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. What happened to Shalosh Shudas? Not there! We have the rest of the meals. Not there! So you see there's a model where there's no Shalosh Shudas on a Shabbos. So to here, you have to have Shalosh Shudas by Mincha time, and you can't have it by Mincha time. And therefore, you don't even have to have fruit or dog, bus of a dog, etc. That's the huge chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan. Everybody argues. They say, why no Shalosh Shudas? The poskim don't agree. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't. The Shulchan Aruch tells you how to do it. But I think the pashas of this Rashi is like that Aruch HaShulchan. Maybe this is where he gets it from. Because what does Rashi say? On this Shabbos, there's no... Not the Aruch the Pnei Yeshua is in, and therefore you have to have snack in the afternoon. Minei Targima. He doesn't say that. He just says, two meals. It's a Gemara. It's not even Rashi. The Gemara says, shtei sudos. Why two? The Rashi says, because there is no Shalosh Shudas. It's mamish like the Aruch HaShulchan. So maybe this Rashi is a smach to that Aruch HaShulchan. Oh, so that's another question that the Achronim ask on Rashi. Why does Rashi say, minei mincha l'malo? What about chatzos? Ready from Chatzos, you're allowed to daven. Mincha l'malo is a din in not eating anything. You're right. Why did he say from Chatzos where there's this to eat chametz? It's a question that many of the Achronim ask on Rashi. Number one. Another issue on the Eliyahu Navi line. Then we'll move on. Well, you know, right, Eliyahu's not going to come on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Yantav, and Torah. Right? Because you're going to be busy making the Sudas. So ask Chasam Sofer, the Tzlach. One second. Let's think about this case. This case is Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos, and then Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Friday because you're going to be busy making the food. So what is the Gemara is saying also? He can't come on Erev Pesach. Why? Because it's Torah. What are you doing? It's Shabbos. It's Erev Pesach Chalitz B'Shabbos. So you sit, that's the one day a year you have nothing to do. Right? You eat your meals by 8 o'clock in the morning, and you have 9 hours until they daven mincha. So what do you mean he's not going to come on that? Why can't he come that day? There's no Torah. You're not being osik in any preparation, right? So what are you doing Shabbos afternoon? Why can't he come on Erev Yontif, which is Shabbos? So the Chassam Sofer says maybe it doesn't mean the tirta of the meal, but it means that let's say Eliyahu Navi comes in that type of case. So you're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach that day, even though we're all tame. The Korban Pesach is going to be Baba Tuma. Whenever Eliyahu Navi comes, we're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach. So imagine all the millions of Jews trying to bring a current Pesach in a couple hours. There's definitely going to be some shushos. The Shechita is not going to be done properly, and we're going to be tarud, and we're going to be running, and this and that. So the Chazam Sofer says, "Bebnei Torah here means Bishum, the current Pesach is not going to be shechted properly." That's his approach. Three days earlier, yeah, you have some more time. You have some more time 3 days earlier. If it comes that morning, you have to shechted Erev Pesach by Chatzos in the afternoon, but earlier, you have to eat it by the night. So that's what he says Torah is. The Tzlach maybe thinks that, no, maybe the issue is, it's another issue, Migu Diskatsoi, but because you weren't thinking about Eliyahu Navi coming beforehand, so maybe your Trum is Usser. Okay, you can look at that answer. But anyway, that's a question that is dealt with by some of the Achronim on this line. To note something, remember that something that we said in Mesechas Erevin, and something new, and that is the Tur quotes from the Abu Dram also quoted that this is why, because of this line, that's why we talk so much about Eliyahu HaNavi on Motzei Shabbos. Because Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, and on Shabbos and Yontif also there's a Chazal that says he's not going to come. So now, Shabbos is over, we start thinking about Eliyahu HaNavi to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, now we're ready, now it's okay for him to come. The Abu Dram, though, doesn't quote that, but then he says, so why don't we sing about Eliyahu HaNavi and Motzei Yontif? Why don't we have all those zviras on Motzei Yontif? Why just on Motzei Shabbos? So he quotes two other opinions why we say, sing about it on after Shabbos. So one is the Gemara says in Shabbos that if Bnei Yisrael kept two Shabbosos, mian nigalin. Right? If we keep Shabbos, another Chazal say, if we keep one Shabbos. So right after Shabbos, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we did our part, now you do your part. We kept Shabbos, so now, that to bring the Geula. We kept Shabbos the best that we can. Number two. And number three, a third reason is that he quotes that by right after Shabbos we'll make an Havdalah, which is Hamavdal Ben Kodesh L'chol. And we know the Gemara Kiddushin says that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come in the future and be Miyaches all families and be Mavdil and tell us which are the Miyuchas families, which are the Miyuchas families, which families have gotten a psul in them. So he's going to make the Havdalah. So just like we're talking about one Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, so too he suggests maybe that's why we're talking about Eliyahu HaNavi, who is the symbol of Havdalah as well. And just one final point, and then we'll continue. Again, I saw in the Sefer Osos Hashas, Margolias Hashas, that is, he quotes from the Tzadikim. I don't know which Tzadik this is, but he quotes, Yadua B'Shema Tzadikim. He says that this whole idea that Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on an Erev Shabbos, an Erev Yontif, or Shabbos and Yontif, that's only if he comes, so to speak, in Achishena. We know the Gemara says, Be'ita Achishena, in its time I will hasten it. There are two ways the Mashiach could come, the Gemara Sanhedrin says. Either, if we're Zoche, fast, Achishena, or be eaten in its proper time, meaning whenever the time is to come. So say the tzaddikim, that when do you have all these rules, he's not allowed to come, that's only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to bring it quicker, that he's not going to bring it on one of these days. But if it's the last moment, if it's the exact time that he has to come, then he's got to bring it whenever it is. Like in Mitzrayim, if we would have been there an extra second, forget it. We would never have been redeemed. So too, the tzaddikim say that so too, if it's coming in a betoras, Be'ita, in its proper time, that is going to have to come at that very second, whenever it is, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to have to redeem us. Okay. Weiter. Here we go. The Af Rebbe Sover, Raf Rebbe Sover Lahad Rav Nachman, Rebbe also holds like Rav Nachman, who says that what? That the Halach is like Rebbe Yehuda, that you can eat through the fourth, and then the fifth is Tolan. Damar Avin Baravada. There was a man who left a bundle of chametz with Yochanan Chakuka, who we had on Daf Gimel already. And all of a sudden, the bag that he's holding for his friend, his bag of chametz, mice came and ate through the bag. And the chametz is spilling out. Uba lifnei Rebbe, and he came in front of Rebbe. Shah Rishona. There's a question why we need that fact. First, we'll talk about why do you care. We'll see. The issue here is because it's going to be Pesach in a minute, and you have your friend's chametz. So what do we need the issue of the mice start and the stuff is falling out? That doesn't seem to be so pertinent to the story, but that's the story. So he goes, Yochanan goes in front of Rebbe and says, what am I supposed to do? I have this bag of chametz for my friends. and it's going to be Pesach. So what should I do with it? So Rebbe says, Rebbe Shon Amar Lo Hamtein, wait, wait. Why wait? Rashi says, because maybe the owner's going to come. Shnei Amar Lo Hamtein, Shlishis Amar Lo Hamtein, fourth hour, Revias Amar Lo Hamtein, Chamishis, the fifth hour now. Amar Lei, Tsei Umocher Bashuk. Right, the fifth hour, Rebbe says, okay, you don't have any more time. How long do you wait for him? So go sell it. So my love, Lanachron, Rebbe Yehuda, doesn't this mean he stopped saying sell it to non-Jews? Because it's the fifth hour, you're allowed to get, according to Rebbe Yehuda, it's mutter bahana to Jews, but a Jew can't eat it. Therefore, it must be that he says sell it to non-Jews. So, Rebbe Yosef, no, lo Yisrael, Rebbe Meir. No, he's talking about sell it even to a Jew. Sell it quickly, because if you wait till the end of the fifth hour, no Jew's going to buy it. He has no more time to eat it. So there's no raya. Maybe this story is like Rebbe Meir. Omer le Rabaya, Eli Yisrael, Nishkalei l'nafshi. What do you mean? If the Jew could buy it, so why doesn't he just eat it himself? Why does he have to sell it to another Jew? Why doesn't he eat it himself? He'll pay back the owner. He'll pay back the owner. He'll pay him money. No, there's a chshad. There's things will be fishy. If you're holding something and then you eat it, then you're going to pay for it. It's a little not so kosher from the outside. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, that there are other cases where you have to go above and beyond in your behavior to make sure people don't think that you're doing anything wrong. Gabayt staka, she'ein lahem aniyim lechalik. Let's say you have a gabayt staka who doesn't have poor people to be mechalik the money to. Rashi explains that you have copper coins, and over time the copper coins rust. And therefore, you don't want to keep the copper coins. You want to change them for gold coins or silver coins so they stay fresh. So how do you exchange them? So says the Gemara, you shouldn't exchange them with your own coins. You should dafka get somebody else to exchange them with you. Partin la'acheirim vein partin la'atzman. Why? Because who knows, you're going to give them, what kind of rates are you going to give them? Who knows if you gave them the proper amount? So therefore, even if you're going to be honest, still will shame other people. You're not supposed to do it yourself. Or similar, gabay tamchui shein lamanim lachalek. If a gabay tamchui, a pot who has food for an aniyim, also mochum lachem and mochum laatzman, don't take it for yourself. Mishum shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'yisem nekiyem me Hashem umi Yisrael. Very important pasuk. You have to be clean from Hashem and from Israel. So what? That you're being honest. You also have to make sure that our actions are clean from other people, right? This pasuk is the concept of maris ayin, the concept of chshad. So therefore, we have to make sure to be careful, right? The mission in Shkalim's coming up in a couple of months. Mission Shkalim says that when the Kohen Gadol or any Kohanim go into the Beis Hamikdash in order to take out the Shkalim, his pants didn't have any cuffs or pockets. There was no place for him to put any money. I were going to be choshesh that the Kohen Gadol is going to steal. No, the answer is, this pasuk is quoted. V'yisem nekiyem Hashem Yisrael. So what? That you're not going to take anything, but you have to act in a certain way that is above and beyond any shadow of a doubt of you're doing anything wrong. Amr Leir of Adas. That's why. So what do you see from the end of this story? That there's no raya. Maybe he was saying to sell it to Goyims. There's no raya that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Amr Leir of Adas, Bermasla, Rebbe Yosef. Rebbe Adas said to Rebbe Yosef, no, but Feirish Amar Elon. Rebbe Yosef, no, you forgot. You told us, Seyum Achon L'Nachrim Rebbe Yehuda. You told us that Rebbe really meant to Nachrim, like Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore it is a good raya. Again, Rebbe Yosef, many times we know, Meshach Talmudo, he was sick, so, and his Talmidim reminded him what he had said. There is a discussion, again, we're not going to focus on it now, about this type of case. Let's say you have something of your friend's, you know, chametz. So what does the story say? You have to get rid of it. What if you don't get rid of it? So you have to burn it, says the Shulchan Aruch. Says this tour in the Shulchan Aruch. You have to burn it. If you have your friend's chametz and he's not around, and it's going to be violated by Rabbi Yamatze, so you have to burn it. Why do you have to burn it? Who's going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze? So says the Bach, he's going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze. So you have to do it to save him. The mafkid, the one who gave it to you, is going to violate it. It's not yours. You didn't accept achrayus. So you have to do it because he's going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze. And the Gra argues on the Bach. The Gra says, no, you're going to violate. The only chiluk of kabbalas achrayus or not is from a non-Jew's chametz that we had on Daf Hey. But by a Jew's chametz, if you have a Jew's chametz in your possession, even if you do not accept the responsibility for it, you're not a kabbal achrayus, then you're going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze. So yes, the halacha is that if you have somebody else's chametz in your house, so then you're going to have to get rid of it. The machlokas between the Bach and the Gra, why do you have to get rid of it? Why do you have to burn it? Because he's going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze, or you're going to violate by Rabbi Yamatze. And there's a lot of discussion in the Akronim in these types of cases where you have something of your friends that is going to be lost. Let's say I saw the Chashukin Chemed, the Sefer from Rav Yashav Sonnel or of Zilberstein. What happens if you find a box of cheese during the week, and like you're going to take it in, you're going to return it to the owner later on, and then it's Erev Shabbos, and you have the cheese, and you need room in your fridge to put your other stuff for Shabbos. You don't have enough room in your fridge, and you look on the date of the cheese, and the date is that day, and tomorrow is going to be spoiled. So therefore, are you allowed to get? Are you allowed to throw it out? Do you have to go find the owner? That's a type of case again where you're where somebody you have somebody else's property. It's going to be spoiled. Not that it's chametz is going to the isra chametz, but these are all types of cases. What you do with other people's property. Again, we'll talk more about the case if we have time at the end. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Come on, Ozla Hashmaitz of the Rebbe." This story of Rebbe, who Rebbe said that you have an obligation to sell your friend's stuff if it's going to be lost. Who is that following? Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's like Rav Shimon Gamliel in Baba Metzia. It's not as the Mishnah says there. Hamafkan Peiru says a Chaviro. If you, I gave fruit to my friend, Afilu Hein Avudin Lo Yigebahen. My friend is not allowed to touch them, even though they are spoiling, even though they're getting lost. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, no, Mochrim Bebesim Imdei Hashav Asaveta. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you're allowed to sell them because the guy would want you to do that. They're getting lost, so it's like Hashav Asaveta. You're returning a lost object, and therefore you're allowed to sell it. And therefore, Rebbe's Shita must be like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Gemara, no, Amalei Abaye, no. Abaye said, no, the Rebbe might even be like the Tana Kama. V'la bitmer Allah. Didn't we say about that Mishnah? When do you say that there's a machlokas? When it's slowly, slowly, natural course of events losing its value. But if the whole thing is getting lost, if the whole thing is out of control and the whole thing is going to be lost soon, then Mochan Rebes, and then everybody agrees, even the Tanakama agrees, that you're allowed to sell it. The Kalshik and Hakadab, Sidi Lagamri, and surely here where it's totally lost, because Pesach is going to come, for sure you'd be able to sell it. Okay, so Rebbe Shita could be like either of the Tanaim in Baba Metzia. Next. Remember the Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has this limbo time, the fourth hour you're allowed to eat, the fifth hour you're allowed to get hana, but you're not allowed to eat it, and the sixth hour everything's aser. So he had a simon in the Beis HaMikdash, how people would know this. He used to put two challahs up, and two challahs todos, psulos, right, two of the loaves of the toda that were pasul, which we're going to talk about in a minute. He used to put them up so everybody could see them. And when they were both up, people were eating. When they took one off, people stopped eating and they gave to their animals. When they took both off, everything stopped and they stopped having any hana. So Tani Tanaka made Rav Yehuda al gav ha'itztava. So there was someone who learned the brisa in front of Rav Yehuda who says that it's where do you put it? Al gav itztava. Rashi here explains that an itztava is a bench in a very high place, and the benches in those days used to have hoods and roofs to protect from the rain. So where did you put the challahs? So there was somebody who learned the brisa in front of Rabbi Yehuda, you put it on the gav hitztava, which means on the seat of the bench. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Amalei v'chila atzdiyan hutzarach. What do you want to hide the challahs? The point of the challahs is to make sure everybody sees them. So tzni al gago itztava. No, it's talking about the gag. You put it on the roof. You put it on the top of this bench where the covering is so that everybody can see them. What's this discussion? If you look in the Rashash quotes ayin a certain sefer. He quotes ayin nesivos olam mashakasa bazeh. So he doesn't quote what he says, but another sefer he quotes. But the nesivos olam there says it must be that in the original Mishnah it said ayin gimel with a smidgen, right? And they didn't know what it was. So the Talmud thought it was al gava itztava, and the Rebbe's correcting. No, it's al gaga itztava because that's the whole point of the halacha to be up high so everybody could see. Amar Rechava, Amar of Yehuda, something that we had in Masechta Shabbos also, Harabayis Stav Kafel Hoya. The whole Harabayis, the whole Temple Mount, all around, had double benches. Had double benches, we're talking about Itzavah's benches, so it had double rows of benches to sit wherever you walked. Tani Nami Haki, Harabayis Stav Kafel Hoya, there were double benches, Rav Yehuda Omer, Istavanis Haisa Nikres, it was called Istavanis, Stav Lefnimi Stav, a row of benches within a row of benches. Period. Psulos. So the Gemara had said that what do you use for the simin? You use loaves of todos psulos. We know that a carbon toda, we have an amud about kachim now. You saw this in kachim. So the halacha is that a carbon toda is a type of carbon shlamim, but it's a unique carbon shlamim. A carbon toba, you bring 40 loaves of bread with you. 30 of them are matzah, 10 of them are chametz. You give one out of every 10 to the Kohen, that's 4, and the other 36, you eat yourself with your friends, and you have to finish it by that night. You have to finish it by that night. Unlike a regular carbon shlamim, where you have day, night, day to eat it, a carbon toda, you have until chatzos that night. So a toda has lots of loaves of bread, and you have to finish it by that night. So ask the Gemara, Amai psulos, why do you use for the simen to put on top, why do you have to say pasul loaves? Why not kosher loaves? Why pasul loaves? And where do you get these pasul loaves from? So the Gemara has a couple of options. Amar bichanina mitoch shayim arubos nifsalas belino. Nor bichanina says, you know why? Because there were so many loaves around at this time, which we'll see why in a minute. That's why there were so many that were nifsal belina, that became pasul because it was after the time that you were able to eat it. The Tanya, why were there so many loaves hanging around on Erev Pesach? The Tanya, ain mebiyin tov b'chagam matzah b'lichamit sheba. As we just said, 10 of the 40 loaves of the carbon toda were chametz. So you're not allowed to bring a carbon toda on Pesach. That's why we don't say mizbeh l'soda on Chol HaMoed Pesach and on Pesach. So you're not allowed to bring a carbon toda on Pesach. You say it on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. You don't say it on Chol HaMoed Pesach. I've said a story about that in the past. What? We'll talk about that in a second. So at least the Brisa says you can't bring a carbon toda on Pesach because of the chametz. Pshita, it's obvious. Chametz. So Amar Avada Barava Hacha B'Yudal Raskina. No, the chiddush is you can't even bring a carbon toda on the 14th day on Erev Pesach. Why? Because Sabar Ein Mevi'in Kachon LeBeis HaPsul. That's the principle that you're not allowed to bring a carbon when there is a limited time for you to partake of it. More limited than what the Torah allows. So here too, you're not allowed to bring a carbon toda even on Erev Pesach, because usually you're supposed to have all day to eat this carbon toda, but you're going to have to stop at Chatzos, because Chametz is going to become Aser. So that's the principle of Ein Mevi'in Kachon LeBeis HaPsul. You don't put yourself into a situation where you're going to have to be Posel Kachon, because there's so little time to eat it. So that's why you're not allowed to even bring a carbon toda, not only on Pesach, but you can't even bring it on Erev Pesach, because you have so little time to eat it. V'kuli Alma, but think about it. People who came to be Ola Regel, they have so many things have happened in the past 6 months. They have so many carbon todas to bring. So they have 5,000 carbon todas to bring. And they have to bring them all on the 13th day of Nisan. They can't bring them on the Erev Pesach, they can't bring them the week of Pesach, and everybody's going to go right back to work after Pesach. So when do you bring them? You bring them all on the 13th day of Pesach. So imagine how many carbon todas there were. There are so many loaves of bread that are pasul on the 14th, because you only had till the 13th that night. So the kuli alma b'shloshasar ma'isi luhu, and mitok she merubos nifsalos belina, because there are so many, that's why they are nifsal belina. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says to use these pasul loaves, because there are so many of them, so you might as well use these pasul loaves of the carbon toda for the simen. That's option number one. Mishur Rabbi Yane amru kasheros hayu. Rabbi Yane says, no, really they were kosher loaves. Ella, but the problem was they were going to become pasul. At the moment on Erev Pesach, when in the morning you were going to use them, they were kosher, but still they're going to become pasul. What kind of loaves are we talking about? Ve'ela mai kari lehu psulos. So why are they called psulos? Shelo nishchat alein hazevach. Because you didn't shech the carbon with it yet. Let's stop for a minute. Carbon toda, as we said, there are two parts of a carbon toda. There's the animal that you bring and the loaves that you bring with it. There's a special connection between the carbon and the loaves. The second that you say, I'm going to bring these loaves for my carbon toda, so that bread has what's called kedushas damim. It has the value, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. But still, if you want to switch those loaves, you can, because it's only kedushas damim. Its value, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, but inherently it doesn't belong to the Beis HaMikdash yet. But the second that you shecht your animal of the carbon toda, then automatically that affects the loaves, and the loaves now have what's called kedushas haguf. It has inherent kedusha, and it's forever belongs to hekdesh. You can't be pota it from hekdesh. There's a special relationship, again, between the carbon, the animal that you bring, and the loaves. The second, up until the time when you shecht, that has kedushas damim, which is able to be redeemable. The second that you shecht the carbon toda, so now it has kedushas haguf, and it can never be redeemed. That's background for carbon toda. So says Rabbi Yanai, really? No, you bring a carbon toda on Erev Pesach, and you use those loaves to hang up, to put up there. And they're really kosher, but why are they pasul? Because you didn't shech the carbon yet, therefore they're going to become pasul. If you never shech the carbon, then the loaves never get full kedusha, they're going to end up being pasul. So the Gemara says, one second, benishcha. So shech the animal, shech the carbon toda. What are you waiting for? So the Gemara says, sha'avar azev. No, you lost the carbon. You lost the little shepsel, you lost the animal that you're going to bring the carbon toda for, so this bread is forever going to be no good. So the Gemara says, one second, I see zevach acher benishchot. So bring a different animal and shecht, and bring a different animal to team up with these loaves. Da'amar zuto devzulachma. The Gemara answers, no, because the Gemara says, that you're not allowed to substitute a different animal for your loaves. Kidderabba, as Rabba says, to Amar Rabba, because we have a rule. Avad halachem, if the bread of the carbon toda got lost, maybe lechanacha, then you could bring other loaves, because the ikar of the carbon is the animal. So if you lost some loaves, so bring extra loaves, bring different loaves. That could team up with the animal that you have. But avda toda, but if you lost the animal, ain't maybe toda acheres. You can't just bring another animal to team up with your loaves. Why? My time up. Lechem glal toda, vein toda glal lechem. No, because the ikar is the animal. So as long as the animal is there, you could keep switching the loaves. But if the animal is lost, then the loaves are farfallen. You can't bring another animal to team up with the loaves. But the Gemara says, 1 second. V'nifrkinu v'nifkinu lechulin. We just said, you have these loaves. What gives these loaves kedushas haguf, inherent kedusha? The shechting of the animal. Before that, they only have what's called kedushas damim, the value belonging to the Beis HaMikdash, and you can still redeem them. So again, we're asking, why do you use these loaves, and they're called psulos in the Mishnah? Redeem them. Give the money to the Beis HaMikdash and let them go to Chulin. What do they have to stay up there and become pasul for? They're not kadosh yet. So the Gemara says, Ela Olam, you're right. Shenishchal Alein HaZevach. Really, you know, there was the yishecht of the animal, and they have kedushas haguf. You didn't lose the animal, you shecht of the animal. But then you know what happened? The nishbach adam, the blood, before you sprinkled it, spilled out. Ukeman kerebi. And it's like the shita of Rebbe, who says, to Amar Rebbe, shnei dvarin hamatirin ma'alin zebelo zeh. Rebbe says, when you have a halachic process, and again, I'm sorry that we can't spend more time on this. This beautiful one this year. But Rebbe says, when you have a process in Kadshim where there are two acts that you have to do, and through those two acts, the service, the avoda occurs, each one of them has significance by itself. So here too, Rebbe says, you have two acts to fulfill the ultimate purpose of these loaves. You have to shech the animal, and you have to sprinkle the blood of the animal. Rebbe holds, even just one of them gives full kedusha to the bread. So says, that's what the Gemara says. So here too, this full kedusha is dumb into the bread, so that's why you can't redeem it and take it out of being a kachim. That's what Gemara says. Ukaman karebi, da'amar rebi, shnei dvarim ha-matirin ma'ala zebelo zeh. Even if you only do one of the acts, you shecht without sprinkling the dam, it still has kedusha, inherent kedusha, and therefore you can't redeem it and say that it becomes chulun. D'tanya, as the Braisa says, kivsei atzeres, ein mekachin es alechem ela b'shchita. We know on Shavuos, there's also a carbon brought with loaves. That's the special shtei halechem. The shtei halechem that's brought only on Shavuos, it also has a keves, a sheep that's brought with it. So it's the same rule there. Only once you shech the sheep, does the shtei halechem have full kedusha. So in that case, kivsei atzeres, ein mekachin es alechem ela b'shchita. You need to shech the animal in order to be mekadesh, sanctify the bread. Ketzad, how does that work? Shachtan, we'll finish in a minute. Shachtan lishman vizarak daman lishman. Let's say you shechted lishman, means properly, with the right kavanas, vizarak daman lishman, and you sprinkled the blood properly, or, kiddush alechem. So in that case, you did everything perfectly. But even, says Rabbi, shachtan shalol lishman vizarak daman shalol lishman, lo kiddush alechem. Sorry, first the case is, let's say you didn't do anything properly. You did the shechita improperly, you had a different kavana, you did the zrik improperly, so then the bread is not sanctified. But, Rebbe says, if you did the shechita properly, not the zrika, it still makes the lechem kadosh, meaning it still has inherent kedusha, and therefore, Rebbe says, this is Rebbe Shita, that if you have two things to do, a shechita and a zrika, as long as you do one, it creates kedusha for the other object, for the lechem. So therefore, that is Shita's Rebbe here, that Rebbe Yehuda in our mission is following, that these breads that you put up there, they're really kosher. They're not pasul yet, but they're going to become pasul, because you have nothing else to do. You shechted the toda already, so therefore it has inherent kedusha, and now you just have to wait till they become totally pasul that night. That's why it's called psulos. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, just look at the other shita in the Braiser. Rebbe Shimon holds, la'olam eino kadosh alechem ashi yishchod lishman v'yizrok damon lishman. Rebbe Shimon holds, no, when you have two processes that have to be done, shchita and zrika, then the bread does not achieve inherent kedusha unless you have done both of those processes, the shchita and the zrika. So that's why at this point we're going to stop, but at this point we assume that our mission is only following the shita of Rebbe, who says there's significance even if you do one without the other, the shchita without the zrika. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. The first 5 minutes tomorrow, we'll review these last few lines. Everybody just try to come on time and we'll review these last few lines. Agun Chodesh. The Shir Zalzecha Nishmas. David Svi Ben Dov Mordechai. David Svi Ben Dov Mordechai.